Well, greetings and salutations one and all to the one and only Career Retrospectus right here on the Super Review Show Network. I am joined by my two incredible friends, Kyle and Mike. What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Yo, good to be back once again. Happy Monday, January 27th. Here we go. No, but as the title of our podcast it just alludes to, whatever. We spun the wheel last week and landed on my pick again, my other pick on the wheel for an album for us to review called by The Who, that band from the 1960s and 70s called Who's Next in 1971. This was an album that I said, hey, you know, this is maybe worthwhile a good review to do. So why don't we talk about it and we'll get to it, shall we? So anyways, let's talk about The Who, shall we? One of my favorite bands of the 60s and 70s, personally, of that time period. Like, you know, they came out in like 65, 66, if you will, with My Generation. And they went on to do Tommy, the great things, Quadrophenia, etc. This was in between Tommy and in between Quadrophenia. So if you know anything about the history, of The Who, this is a big... This is a pretty big album for them too. It has some of their biggest, most well-known songs on here, if they're of their catalog, such as like, you know, big songs like Bob O'Reilly or Won't Get Fooled Again. The story, but and I'm gonna get to the track listing in a sec, but just want to give a backstory for just a couple of the songs really quick. Bob O'Reilly was supposed to be a an album, was supposed to be part of a new rock opera for Pete Townshend and Roger Daltrey to do for another Who album. But instead they said, let's just take this one track and put it on their fifth album, which was later Who's Next, which, you know, has some ups, has some downs, I will admit. If you're listening to it again and again before we did our podcast and I'm discussing it. Overall, just a very bombastic sound, some acoustic sounds, some horns thrown in there here and there. Overall, just a really good rocking 70s album. Led Zeppelin was just coming onto the scene too at the time too, and a lot this album really showed Pete Townshend's synthesizer for some of the songs, you know, Bob O'Reilly or Won't Get Fooled Again. I'll get to those in a second, but just one of my favorite albums of theirs, truthfully. Probably their biggest, most successful one, I would say, outside of doing Tommy and Quadrophenia, of course. But needless to say, this is a It starts off really big. I'll get to the track list in a sec too, but it starts off really big and bombastic with, you know, Bob O'Reilly, and then we get over to the last track too. But in the middle, there's some hidden gems and some tracks that I thought were actually a little bit lesser than I originally remember hearing them. So, anyways, I'm gonna get into it, shall we? The track listing for Bob O'Reilly, it's only 9 songs, but it is, needless to say, though. A lot of really big, big bombastic songs of the 70s. A lot of people may not remember these songs or not, but of a certain time period. But anyways, Bob O'Reilly kicks off the record. No surprise here. This is actually not a 10 out of 10, believe it or not. Actually, it's iconic. It's played on the radio a lot by all those classic rock radio stations. Timeless track overall. I'm giving it a 9 out of 10 for its iconicness. But what prevents it from going to a 10 out of 10 for me personally is the fact of it, it's probably like the one outside of I'll get to a second, but Won't Get Fooled Again. This song in particular is played a lot on many radio stations. If I'd say it's The Who's signature song, arguably one of them for sure. But yeah, just a 9 out of 10 for kicking off the record with Bob O'Reilly. Roger Daltrey and Pete Townshend training vocals on this is phenomenal in my opinion. And it really showed how they were evolving from just a guitar heavy band to a synthesizer heavy band too, which was pretty interesting over their career too. Bargain, we stepped down a little bit here. We actually go down to about a 7, maybe 7.5. It's not my favorite, but it does. Roger Daltrey's vocals specifically are just, he's known to be a powerhouse singer. Even today, I've seen The Who twice live. I've seen Roger Daltrey on my own as a solo artist without Pete Townshend and The Who as the band. He is a powerhouse vocalist. He's known for his loud, I'm not sure the specific terms. He's a powerhouse vocalist, though. And a lot of people have studied his songs and whatnot, too. But yeah, 7.5 out of 10 for Bargain. Love Ain't For Keeping. Kind of short, nothing too crazy here. I enjoy this one, though. Need to say this is about a 6. Could go up to a 6.5, truthfully. It's a little a sweet song. It's there to – I wouldn't say it's filler, but I'd say it's just – it's there for good purposes, of course. I like it, though. But that's a 6.5 for me. And then we go down to My Wife, the only song written by another member of the band besides Pete Townsend, which is John Entwistle, who died in 2002 of a cocaine overdose. My Wife, one thing I like about the song is that it starts off so kind of, not necessarily super quiet, but it starts off kind of quiet, and then it builds this bombastic, like, the horns in the background are just, like, just incredible. I love those horns in the background. I mean, not everyone may or may not, but it's still a strong song nonetheless. I'm sitting about a 7. Could go up to 7.5 for My Wife. Now, for those of you who don't know much about deep cuts on records or people who know records as a whole, this next song, I'm just going to preface by saying I love the different parts of this song. I wish the song was more widely known by rock members of the classic rock community, but the song is over by the last song on the side one, which is 6 minutes and 14 seconds long. Pete Townsend, it's funny how it's amazing how it also reminded me of like if ELO did not have strings almost, and if you had there's different parts to it, like starts off with the piano, it starts off with. And then it goes into the verses and Pete Townsend's vocals and whatnot too, during the bridge and whatnot too. But I love the different different elements, how it changes tempo, it changes time, it changes like sound in general. It's just a really nice, powerful song. Because when you first, the song first starts, like, oh, this is going to be a ballad or whatever. No, but there's a lot of harder rock elements in this song too. This is actually a 9 out of 10 for me. I love this song much more than I thought I did. So The Song Is Over is a 9 out of 10 for me, called The Song Is Over from the end of side one. We go down to side two now with Getting In Tune. Another 7.5 out of 10, roughly, in the sevens for sure. Nothing super crazy. I do like it. I love the lyrics. I should have prefaced by saying this, but one thing I love about The Who in general is that like their lyrics are very like in your face. You know, like where people try to put us down, talking about my generation. I hope I die before I get old. And these are the powerful lyrics by a powerful lyricist known as Pete Townsend. I should have mentioned that from the beginning. Forgive me. But Getting In Tune is one of those tracks that I really enjoy as well. Like I said, but it's nothing too crazy. I do like it a lot, though, with a 7. Nothing super crazy there, but I do enjoy it. Going Mobile, this is... this was actually, I didn't realize it says right here on a Wikipedia page. I forgot that this was actually part of the Lifehouse project that was going on. It was a track that was going to be on their album called Lifehouse that never happened, but instead they put it on this record here. So that's, I completely forgot about that actually. I dove into their catalog a lot, like as a Who fanatic. And I was like, I can't wait to see them live. And I saw them live twice already. It's great. Great band. But Going Mobile, another 7. Nothing super crazy. I do like it, though, nonetheless. Behind Blue Eyes, it's a 9.5 for me. I have a lot of nostalgia purposes with this song for Behind Blue Eyes. For whatever reason, it's funny. Between the song's acoustic guitar intro and the harmonies between Pete Townsend and John Entwistle's background vocals, it truly shows how music can take different shapes and forms and have different parts and elements to one 3 minute and 42 second song. And I really enjoy this one a lot. Behind Blue Eyes, one of my favorite ones, truthfully. Probably their most covered song aside from Bob O'Reilly. So that's just a big one there. But a 9.5 for Behind Blue Eyes. When I saw it live, it was just Pete, Roger, and a cellist playing this song. It was really, really, really cool. Then we get to the only, quite possibly one of the most anthemic songs I think I've ever heard in my lifetime, with one of the most high-pitched screams in the middle, towards the end of the song, with Roger Daltrey basically screaming his vocals out with Won't Get Fooled Again. This song is an incredible journey of a song musically speaking. It's not just, you know, revolt or, you know, or protests or whatever. It's a powerful, powerful 8-minute song. Eight minutes and 32 seconds long. And it's funny. It is one of the most streamed songs on Spotify if you go listen to it. And it closed out the album on such a bombastic note, and it's awesome. I love Won't Get Fooled Again to Death. And whenever I listen to it on vinyl, because I have a vinyl copy of it from 71, I always try my best to – I don't try my best. I listen to it all the way through. I love how it just ends with the record ends on such a powerful, high-energy, high-powered note with Won't Get Fooled Again. I love this track. One of my favorites in general from The Who. One of my favorite, like, classic rock, quote-unquote, songs of all time. Up there for me. Not quite in my top 30 or top 40 songs of all time, but just it's a powerful song. And I think it just starts off with the organ, starts off with the keyboard, and just goes into this, like, different parts, different elements here and there. It's, I feel like some people forget about how powerful the music can be, and I think Won't Get Fooled Again shows how you can have music that's really, really powerful. So overall, though, it's funny. So as an album, though, I mean, yes, you have your hits on here. You have your Bob O'Reilly's. You have your Behind Blue Eyes. You have your Won't Get Fooled Again, the big three off the record. But some of the deeper cuts, like you have stuff like The Song Is Over or Bargain or Getting in Tune or My Wife. You know, these are lesser known songs to the general public, but still overall like good plus songs nonetheless. From an album that I believe is one of the most, in my opinion, one of the most pioneering, pivotal hard rock, quote unquote, albums of all time, with stuff like Won't Get Fooled Again there. And Pete Townsend is one of those few guitarists, in my opinion. Just want to say this about him really quick. Pete Townsend is one of those guys where he is one of the few guitarists who can truly create a world with their instrument. He's a guitarist who defined his era and his time. And if you've never seen The Who and have never heard of this band or whatever, dive into this record, dive into their catalog, get to know their material. They are one of the best to ever come together. They're just four guys who just were a combustible force, needless to say, as a band, if you dive into their history. But no, great album overall. So overall, for Who's Next from 1971, my pick, I'm sitting at an 8 out of 10. Because the lesser-known songs, the deeper cuts are still hold up a strong weight for me. But the hits kind of like drive it higher than I originally had like a 7.5 out of 10, but I'm going up to an 8 out of 10 for this one because of some of iconicness of just how powerful the songs can be and how, showing how a 3-minute pop song can have like different parts of a string section or like on Behind Blue Eyes, whatever, or how an 8-minute hard rock song like Won't Get Fooled Again can hit the top 40 at the time and be like played like crazy still to this day. So, needless to say, one of my favorite albums by there, probably my favorite album of theirs, truthfully. So I'm saying about an 8 out of 10 for The Who's Next from 1971. I'm going to let Kyle go next. I think he wants to go next, if I'm not mistaken. So what do you got, bud, for The Who's Next?
All right, so you're talking to a registered The Who hater here.
Oh, my God.
Never liked The Who outside of a couple tracks here and there. Just could never really get into them. I don't know, not my style, not the sound I prefer to listen to. So going into this is actually the first full-length album that I've sat down and listened to by them. And this album actually breaks down into thirds for me, where a third of the record is full of fantastic, amazing, iconic songs. A third of it is horrendously bad, and the other third is just a bunch of mediocre filler tracks. Starting, you know, let's go right into a Bob O'Reilly. I mean, this is a 10 out of 10. I mean, not having this as a 10 out of 10 is crazy to me. Their best song by far. I mean, this is an iconic, absolute kick-ass song. Everything about this is just, you know, world-class songwriting here. Everything about it, instrumentation, the vocals, the lyrics. This song was really way ahead of its time for 71. And that's something that goes to say about the other tracks on here that I like. Is that when they're pushing that envelope, they do very well. And now on the flip side of that, we go to the next song, Bargain, and immediately nosedives for me. You go from a 10 to a 3. The problem with starting an album off so strong is that you have to follow it up with a follow-up that sounds like, these don't even sound like they should be on the same album together. let alone even written by the same people, if I'm going to be honest with you. This is just a standard early 70s, late 60s rock song that doesn't really have much of an identity to it. It's just really lackluster. I'm not a fan of it at all. The vocal melodies on this just felt off to me. I've never been a fan of his vocals as a whole. But then we had even worse on Love Ain't For Keeping. This one was a two for me. This is actually my least favorite song by The Who I've ever heard. Really just not for me. I thought it was incredibly boring and mediocre, especially for a band of their stature. I actually did not expect that. I didn't go into this expecting there would be anything that I hated. So to have two in a row that I really didn't like was pretty jarring. I didn't think this had any good transitions on it. The drums were okay, but I just felt like they didn't fit for what the song was going for necessarily. Not a fan of the sound here. Then we get to My Wife. It's a little bit better. I mean, we're at a four, so I mean, that's something, right? Just not a fan of the vocal patterns on this. The cadence is a little bit strange. The lyrics are not the best on here, if we're going to be honest, which lyrically they tend to be an okay band. They tend to be pretty solid. Some awkward phrasing here and there that could be a little bit jarring to the ear vocally. Slightly better than the last two, though. And then we kind of get back into a little bit more of a groove with the song is over and getting into tune. I'm going to kind of combine those two. They're both fives. They're just middle of the road. I can see, for me anyway, these are just not my style. I can see why people that are fans of the band might enjoy these. I get that more than the other few songs. They're both just kind of two filler tracks to me. Then Going Mobile, it's another step down for me. We're back at a four. Not a fan of the vocals on this one at all. Probably one of my least favorite vocal performances on the record. Boring, forgettable, not great, but not offensively bad. And now going to the last two tracks to really bookend this album very well. I mean, Behind Blue Eyes, finally on here, another good song. This is a fantastic song. There's a reason it gets covered so much. It is vocally one of his best performances, in my opinion. This album, like I said, it really excels when they're kind of pushing the envelope of their sound and the sound at the time. Even this song, with being kind of an acoustic ballad, was still a little bit ahead of its time in terms of what it did with that. Lyrically, this is my favorite song by them that they've done. The only place it falls apart for me and prevents it from being a 10, I don't like towards the end when it like builds up. I don't think they do very well with that. It's lyrically not as strong as the rest of the song is. The vocal phrasing isn't as captivating as just him and the acoustic guitar on it. It kind of falls apart, comes back together at the very end, but that's a 9. And then you go to Won't Get Fooled Again. I mean, it's another 9 for me. It's an iconic song. The only thing preventing it from being a 10, it could really use to be shortened down a little bit. Me, as someone that's not a huge into like that whole like jam band thing, which The Who is not, but towards the end of this track, it just gets a little bit like, all right, we can wrap this up. Overall, fantastic track. You know, has one of the most iconic, you know, screams in all of rock music, probably all of music in general. Overall, gotta give it to them. It's definitely an album. It's definitely good to an extent, but it also has some like, it's interesting because a couple of good songs does not make a good album necessarily. But what they've managed to do here is completely bookend an album with some of the best songs of their career. It's like a reverse Oreo where like in this case, you actually want the two crackers. You don't want what's in the middle. I mean, even go look at the streams on Spotify. Like, go look at the actual numbers on these. And it's not even close. And, you know, you expect that to be the case with, you know, songs as big as Bob O'Reilly, Won't Get Fooled Again, and Behind Blue Eyes. Like, you expect those to have much more. But when I'm saying more, I'm talking like some of the others have a million streams compared to hundreds of millions. I don't know how it was received when it came out, what people felt about the filler tracks that are on there. As a whole, to me, though, it's just a 5. Like I said, it's a third great iconic tracks, a third songs I thought were actually just straight up bad, and then a third just filler in there. So you gotta give props to the drumming on here, though. The drumming was by far my favorite part of the record, even on songs I wasn't too fond of. The drums were very solid. So with that, who's next?
I think Mike is next, if I'm not mistaken. Mike, what do you got for this album here?
Now, Kyle, I want to clear up some things. Did you? What was your official rating? I didn't think I picked up on that. Five. Okay, sorry. I didn't pick up that. And also, when you said my wife is a four, I want to make sure you're talking about the song and not your F4. I will find her and I will have a conversation with her if we have to do this. But I'm guessing you're talking about the
don't worry about song. It. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We'll be fighting, man. We'll be fighting. Yeah. Let's clear up things for the people at home. Okay. So getting back to the review. So I have little to no experience with The Who. You know, obviously outside of those iconic tracks that we all know on the radio, you know, Talk About My Generation, you know, like, I just, for some reason, never ventured into the direction of this band. And, you know, I just knew of them as like the presence in, as a, you know, one of the greats of, you know, the 70s and also just in general music. So kind of coming into this, you know, I've actually simultaneously, Anthony Fantano had a guest reviewer doing this album while we were doing this album. I don't know how that always ends up happening, but somehow we're covering things he's covering. Yeah, if you guys want to check that out, forgot to mention that to you guys. But so, you know, kind of adjacently, like, I was just kind of like wondering what the general public's perception of this album is. Now, Kyle, just to let you know, the general fan base of this album are not streaming this. So those numbers,
but still.
Those numbers are going to be off, because the people who like the album for the album most likely aren't streaming this, and those numbers will not reflect that. So not to say that I'm over here. Yeah, not to say I'm defending those numbers. I'm just saying, you know, most of these guys that grew up listening to this aren't streaming this, and those numbers are going to be well off. So for sure. So starting off with Bob O'Reilly, now this is going to be kind of a hot take. It's, you know, it's one of those simple, recognizable, commercial, successful songs that never really did anything for me. I never hated it, never loved it. You know, I always hated that synth opening and the synth throughout the song. I felt it was kind of noisy and kind of distracting. You know, not that it's like the major killer of the song. It was just, it felt like one of those things that annoyed me. And, you know, it's just something I could have did without. Vocally, the song, you know, actually kind of reminds me of Bruce Springsteen at times. I don't know if you pick up on that, JT. I don't know if it's hard to explain. You know, it has the kind of those elements to the way he kind of belts out certain things. But overall, I like the second half of this song more than I like the opening, because the opening feels like, repetitive. I like that kind of when it goes off into that weird kind of second half of the song and does some kind of interesting things with violins and different elements, and it kind of gets into this weird, almost like the way the Beatles would do weird things, or the Stones would do kind of interesting things like that, you know, with different instruments and whatever. But the opening is just kind of simple. So it's a 6.5. Still, I mean, it's still a good song. It's just never been a song that made it on a playlist for me. Never a song that really I like picked out and listened to continuously. But still, it has its major elements that were actually pretty recognizable. So we move on to Bargain. I always felt that the drumming in this album, the drumming in general, had a little too many fills in it. The drummer did that a lot. Too many fills. I almost felt like it kind of reminds me of when someone gets behind a drum kit and they're like, I'm a crazy drummer, and they like do lots of, like, you know, drum fills over and over again to kind of showcase that. Not saying the drumming is bad, it's just not super my style. And you can really hear it throughout this album when it feels unnecessary. Like you kind of said, Kyle, one of those songs, the drumming feels like it doesn't fit with what the music is kind of doing. And, you know, I get some of that. I love that kind of, you know, in this specific song, I love those power chords. You're going to hear those throughout this thing. It's really iconic. Guitar tone has that classic feel to it. Almost has that, you know, Rolling Stones vibe to it. A lot of this album remind me of them, the bluesy rock tones. And weirdly enough, this song kind of reminded me of Schools Out by Alice Cooper. I don't know why, but there's a certain part, it hits a certain, like, it almost sounds like, you know, Alice Cooper would have borrowed some of, you know, the sounds from this or whatever. But it's a 7 out of 10. It's a higher rating than Bob O'Reilly, which is interesting, and probably The World is Burning. Yeah, so 7 out of 10. And then Love Ain't for Keeping. This got that groovy 70s, you know, that bass sound to it. It's got the groovy jam feel, but melodically or vocally, it doesn't really sit well with me, or is not recognizable to me. Overall, the song's evolution stays pretty similar. It doesn't really go in a direction that kind of keeps me interested. It just kind of stays in its respective bubble. So 6 out of 10 for me on that. Just wasn't super, you know, catching my ear. Now, my wife is a 6, Kyle, but I don't have one. No, the song My Wife is 6 out of 10. Overall, it's actually, I got a Queens of the Stone Age. Like, they borrowed some influence from this. It was interesting. It's got that honky tonk kind of, you know, groovy kind of feel to the bass in the background and the guitars. You know, once again, overfills with the drums, and you know, just not a huge fan of that. The brass and the pianos layered through this kind of didn't really sit well in my ear. They definitely gave it this blaring kind of feel to it, but I don't know if that was a good feel. It was definitely a feel, but it felt like it didn't fit well in that song. But 6 out of 10, just overall, still got some cool things going on, just not super captivating. Then when the song is over, it gave me a little bit of a Styx vibe too, weirdly enough. You know, just kind of a building. It never really heads in the direction I want, but still, it's just a solid song. You know, it's just up and down. 6.5 for me on that. And then we getting in tune. Once again, it's got a lot of different elements going on in this that are kind of built throughout this. You know, you have the piano in the background. You know, which gives it that, you know, kind of blues vibe. And I've never a blues rock kind of guy. Reason why I never was a huge Stones guy. But I do like the Stones changes of direction throughout their career. And I feel like if I'd listened to the entire discography of The Who, I might kind of respect this album more as its place in their sound and how things changed from where they began and where they end up now. And I don't have that experience to kind of use in this, so that does give me a little bit of a disadvantage for this review. So 6.5, you know, there's a lot of songs that are all pretty similar. Nothing's really grabbing me, you know, until I actually went to Going Mobile. Once again, Kyle, you and I are always never in sync. I actually gave the song an 8 out of 10. The drumming makes it feel a little messy. Like, you know, once again, little like too, you know, I always call it the more is less, you know, just too much going on. But overall, I like the fast acoustic strumming. I love how it gives it that bouncy feel, energetic feel, the interesting use of the synths alongside everything else. I like the just energy of this track. It feels like a good song to listen to while you're driving and you're going mobile or mobile if you're from England, you know, to all our UK viewers, which are probably zero. But hey, we will check into that and get back to you if there is a single or, you know, a group of UK listeners. So 8 out of 10. Yeah, this was actually one of the highlights of the album starting off, and it continues to kind of go in that direction for the rest of the album here. This is like the best It's definitely the back end of the album that I felt, like Kyle was saying, that really felt like it stood above the rest. Behind Blue Eyes, I mean, obviously iconic song, recognizable lyrics, a little strange at times lyrically. I agree with you, Kyle, like towards the second half of that song starts getting weird. and then it just kind of has a folky ballad feel straight. And then I love how it morphs into this groovy kind of gassed up theme, showcasing the power chords again, bringing the energy. It definitely feels like a journey here. And I like that when your brain doesn't get bored with something, because it starts one way and then morphs to another. And it kind of doesn't do something too much in order to overuse it. And which is nothing wrong with overusing something if you're able to capitalize on the different melodic passages you're bringing, or memorability or songwriting you're bringing. But this one definitely covers a lot of ground. 8 out of 10 for me on this one. It's definitely still a solid song. Nothing that's like mind-blowingly, like, you know, I would go over and say it's crazy and this and that. But, you know, it's definitely still solid. And then Won't Get Fooled Again. I mean, this is the best song in the album. Vocally, I've never liked a lot of the vocals on this album. They're kind of just not superly doing this music any benefit. But overall, the music does the heavy lifting. It's, you know, once again, we're in that groove blues area. It's a good snapshot of the music coming out of this time. It defines the attitude of the music, incorporating the bluesy licks, the noisy drumming. Probably drove parents nuts at the time. I could only imagine that, like, kids were listening to The Who and the parents were like, who are you listening to? And please stop listening to that. You know, it is literally the song, while it never found it in my personal playlist, I never turned it off when it was played on the radio, and it just kicks ass. You know, that's just pretty much it's just a standard track that kind of sums up a time in music. 9 out of 10 for me. Definitely a solid song. Coming back to it in perspective of an album kind of gives you the understanding of like where it fits. Kyle, I totally agree with how Bob O'Reilly doesn't fit with those other songs, as well as the end of this album kind of fits more with it, but it does feel like it doesn't belong on there. And like JT was saying, it actually wasn't supposed to be, but it ended up being kind of implanted back into the album. So overall, it's a 7 out of 10 for me. I could possibly set a 7.5, but at the current place, you know, in the first run through, 7 out of 10 seems like a good fit. You know, when I look at the music style as a whole, there were other bands doing some similar things at the time. I feel like they definitely capitalized on the sound by bringing some of the synth heavy kind of different elements songwriting wise into the genre that were few and far between. And I think it definitely garnered them a name. And I feel overall, I would be interested in hearing where they go from here and how their sound changes and where it puts this album in that sound. But yeah, 7 out of 10 for me.
All right, you heard it here first. Those are our ratings. Mike, I think we got the same rating. Oh, yeah, I gave it an 8, or you gave it a, I gave it an 8.
You gave it an 8.
Thank you.
That's a 7, and Kyle was the...
A 5.
Man, double. No, JT, you were the villain last time, I think, right? No.
You were definitely me.
Double villain.
Kyle, yeah, so that's right. Man. I know, it's crazy. No, but needless to say, guys, ultimately it's what you have to say out there. Please let us know what you are thinking out there. Ah, there we go. Sorry about that. Please sign up in the comment section below this video. We love to hear what you have to say about this. Thanks so much for watching our show tonight and listening to our podcast. I want to thank these two gentlemen, as always, doing this podcast with me, as always, Kyle and Mike. Thanks so much for tuning in, as always. Kyle, Q&A podcast is not back yet, right?
Nope.
Okay. It'll be back.
And now, do we spin the wheel today, or are we doing something different?
We have to spin the wheel because there's nothing coming up, correct, right? There's no albums coming up?
Not until March, I think.
All right. Kyle's going to spin the wheel, and we're going to land on whoever it's. We'll see what's going to land on. You got it right, bud.
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
Spin the wheel or control the wheel there to his and JT's picks. I'm not sure.
Control the wheel. Yeah, I swear to God.
Come on. Keep going. Keep going.
Stop. Keep going. Yes. Keep going.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right.
Because I'm seeing them in a few months.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you got tickets. Good. So our next album is Bush's Razorblade Suitcase. Bush, Razorblade Suitcase. That is our next album right here. We're going to review it next week. I actually, first, it's funny, before you came on.
Didn't they do 9/11?
What's that?
Didn't they do 9/11?
Oh my God! Let's not go there. Okay, I know. But in all seriousness, though, Bush is I forgot the album was called. It's okay. We have an album by Bush coming up next week. That's all I have to say about that. But thanks so much for watching, listening. However, you enjoyed tonight. Thanks so much for tuning into our podcast as always. And for all of our UK listeners out there, this one was for you tonight. So don't worry. That's all right. So, but for all of us here at the Subaru Show, stay safe, take care, and we'll see you guys next week.
God bless.
God bless.